case on the calendar, which is 21-597 CV, Ferrini v. Irgit. Do we have both counsel present today?
Thank you.
And we have for the appellant, Attorney Rutherford, and I understand you would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Please proceed.
Honorable members of the panel, my name is Jack Rutherford, and I represent Plaintiff Appellant Maria Solange Ferrini. May it please the Court. Plaintiff Ferrini created and published an original work of art in 1998, selling copies and derivative works ever since from the beaches of Trancoso, Brazil. In 2012, defendants appellees obtained a signed copy of Ms. Ferrini's work. They took images of this work and sent them to a manufacturer to mass-produce virtually identical knockoffs, the Kini design. In an attempt to insulate their clear infringement against question, defendants then applied for a copyright registration in the infringing work.
That registration was December 2014?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Your client filed February 17th, 2019?
We filed our copyright infringement claim in June of 2019.
No. With the Copyright Office, you filed your claim to a copyright.
We filed our registration
February 17th, 2019.
We filed our registration in 2000. It's effective as of June 2018, Your Honor.
That's June 2018?
June 2018 is the effective date of the registration.
And I'm sorry, just to clarify the date, the effective date as opposed to the date of the filing, could you clarify that?
The effective date for a copyright registration is actually the date you filed it if they issue it.
I see.
Yes. In response to plaintiff's suit for copyright infringement, defendants did not challenge plaintiff's copyright registration. They did not contest her ownership in that registration, and they did not claim the defense of independent creation.
Did you contest hers in 2014?
What we did, Your Honor, was we questioned the validity of that 2014 registration, saying...
When?
We questioned that in our complaint, Your Honor.
In 2019?
Yes, but by questioning...
So you asserted ownership of your own in 2019, 5 years after she filed?
No, Your Honor. We have had ownership of our copyright since 1998. Copyright attaches...
Oh, I understand that. But, okay, go ahead. You're
and
right.
We have published continuously from Brazil, signing our name in each work that we produce. We have maintained our copyright since 1998, Your Honor. It has not gone anywhere else. What defendants registered was their infringing article. They did not register, and they could not register a copyright in our work of art. Our work of art was created in 1998. We're essentially talking about two separate works here. We're talking about the 1998 original work of authorship that was infringed by a work created in 2012 and then registered in 2014. Defendants have taken Ms. Ferrarini's allegations of sole authorship over her 1998 copyright, combined them with our allegations of their bad behavior, and said we're contesting ownership, and that therefore the accrual rule between co-authors applies to bar our infringement claim.
Well, because ownership is in controversy here.
Respectfully, Your Honor, ownership is not in controversy. Ownership
Right.
over our 1998 copyright, which we secured in 1998 when we created it and published it, we have owned that copyright since 1998.
But I thought that is in dispute. You're saying that they agree with that?
In their answer, Your Honor, they said they have insufficient knowledge to affirm or deny ownership, our ownership in our copyright.
They've asserted that you don't own it.
They do not, Your Honor. They cannot assert that we do not own our copyright.
Wait just a second. Because in their answer to the complaint, they specifically alleged that.
There is no evidence.
I'm reading from Joint Appendix 272. This is the affirmative defenses. 6. Defendants are the sole owners of the copyright at the issue bikini design. Affirmative defense 7. The Ferrini bikini design is not entitled to protection under the Copyright Act. That's directly contrary to what you just said.
Respectfully, Your Honor, the defendants have conflated the 2014 registration certificate in their infringing work, which is a virtually identical knockoff, with our 1998 copyright. We are citizens of Brazil. We do not have to register when we first published in the United States.
That.
So our copyright has existed since 1998.
But you would agree with me that the statute says that when the issue is ownership, you have to bring your claim of contested ownership within 3 years.
Yes, Your Honor, but there is no contest over the ownership of our copyright. They have something else.
Okay, they claim to have.
They cannot claim ownership.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
I'm looking at the same page Judge Wesley was just referring to, 272. They say defendants independently created the at-issue bikini design.
Right, I'm sorry.
So it seems to me that they are very much disputing the point. I mean, I understand you characterizing your arguments, but it seems to me that they don't agree with your characterization of their arguments, their position.
Well, they've also mischaracterized our arguments, Your Honor. This is the problem. Is they have conflated.
Well, we're not going to mischaracterize each other. So we can't go tit for tat. So
allow me to use an example. Imagine the Blurred Lines case. Pharrell and Robin Thicke use music that is identical to that copyrighted by Marvin Gaye. Gaye's heirs allege ownership of the music as required by their infringement claim. We're required to allege ownership and sole ownership as part of our infringement claim. Imagine the Blurred Lines case. Under the district court ruling in this case, that becomes an ownership dispute simply because Pharrell and Robin Thicke used music that was almost identical.
No, not when ownership's not disputed. There, many times in copyright cases, the claim is that it doesn't infringe.
They have.
That's like the My Sweet Lord case with George Harrison.
Indeed, under the district court's case in our case, Your Honor, the My Sweet Lord case becomes, Bright Tunes becomes an ownership dispute. They have submitted no evidence that we do not own our 1998 copyright. Independent creation is a separate defense to infringement, which they are allowed to plead and prove at the trial court level should the evidence support it. But there is simply not a scintilla of evidence in this record.
Well, don't they say defendants are the sole owners of the copyright in the at-issue
bikini
design? And isn't, I would suggest that there's agreement that there is only one bikini design at issue.
No, Your Honor, there is not. There are two designs.
Well, you could establish that. Did you counter that these are two different designs?
Yes, Your Honor. We have always been consistent.
Did you argue that to the judge?
We did not get argument in front of the judge on the motion for summary judgment,
well,
Your Honor.
All right. So you didn't argue. Did you put it in your papers that these are two distinct designs and so therefore they're separate creations?
Yes, Your Honor, we have consistently held that these are separate designs. They cannot, by independently making something else, subsume our rights.
Could you have a record reference where you made? I'm not saying you didn't. I'm just wondering that you did.
I think we did it in the motion to dismiss papers, Your Honor, and again in the motion for summary judgment. We have never conflated these two designs. We have consistently said that we have our design and Ms. Ferrarini copyrighted something separate. Whether that is a valid copyright is not an issue for this court.
But you claim it infringes.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
You claim it infringes.
Yes, an infringement, a copyright registration, you have to prove ownership of your copyright, which we did. There is no dispute in the record. There's not a piece of evidence in the record that shows we do not own our copyright and our original design, which we created in 1998.
Well, I completely understand that, but the question is whether your claim is timely or not, and whether ownership becomes an element of your claim.
There is not, ownership is not an element of this claim, Your Honor, because we have proven ownership. We have proven ownership. And they
it's
have not
definitely an element of your claim. You're just saying you don't have to prove it.
Correct, Your Honor. Yes. And if near, what has happened in this case is the defendant has created.
I know you've come a long way, Ms. Rutherford, but if you slow down, we'll get through this together, okay?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
That's all right. I know you're worked up. And there's, these are tough facts, not necessarily for you, but there's some tough facts that your opponent's going to have to answer for. But you and I agree that ownership is an element of your claim.
Ownership is an element of every copyright infringement claim. It's the first element that every author must prove.
All right. And sometimes the ownership element is not contested.
Sometimes the ownership element is not contested. And
like
even
in the Williams case, the illegitimate daughter of Hank Williams, there's no doubt the question is whether she was or was not his child. The question wasn't the ownership of the rights to the Williams songs, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And sometimes ownership.
And you and I would agree that individual acts of infringement are definite. And so therefore, one may be untimely, but a later one might be timely. And so the fact that one can't be brought doesn't mean that a later one can't be brought. It doesn't go to the substantive right of the, to bring the later one.
Absolutely correct, Your Honor. Under Stone, but in this case, should the ownership claim, which we do not agree that there is, but should the ownership claim be time-barred, the infringement claims are indeed timely. There is a separate accrual test for infringement claims, and the district court in this case applied the accrual test as between co-authors and co-owners. The reason that ownership claims end between co-authors and co-owners once one has repudiated the ownership of another is because they created that work together. Defendants have not cited a single case in which the ownership claim was brought between strangers to one another. A stranger to one other stranger cannot repudiate that stranger's ownership in their original copyright. I see my time is up.
Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay. And you've reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal, so we'll be back. Why don't we hear from Attorney Berman?
Yes, good morning, Your Honor. Mark A. Berman on behalf of the defendants. So the issue on appeal is whether the district court was mistaken in concluding that the plaintiff had failed to point to evidence in the record which gave rise to a genuine dispute as to whether the plaintiff knew as early as 2014 that there was a claim by defendants, by my clients, that they had created this bikini design.
Why 2014? What happened in 2014?
So the record is that, first of all, the plaintiff admitted at her deposition that she was aware in 2013 or 2014.
Well, she's aware of the bikini, but she's not aware of the fact that your client's claiming ownership of the design. She's aware of the fact that somebody's copying her bikini, but she's not aware of the fact. So infringement doesn't create an ownership. Infringement doesn't necessarily signal a counterclaim with regard to ownership, does it?
So not necessarily, but the evidence in this case, when you put it all together, as the district court did, gives rise to that conclusion.
Well, when is the first time that we know that I don't want to mispronounce your name. Ferrini?
I believe it's pronounced Ferrini.
Ferrini, okay. Ms. Ferrini knew that someone else was making a claim to be the creator of the bikini.
Certainly no later than her November 8th, 2015 Facebook post when she says
where she uses the word creator, right?
Correct. And bikini is claiming to be the creator. So certainly no later than that date.
Okay.
Before that date, there were other facts that persuaded the district court judge. One, this isn't necessarily in chronological order, but predates that Facebook post in 2015. Ms. Ferrini reached out directly to Ms. Ergit via Facebook message and said, I'm not quoting her, but basically, essentially that you're claiming ownership of this design.
Wait a minute, is that the September 28th, 2014 post?
Yes.
I didn't see anything there that was comparable to the 2015 assertion that you're the creator. I thought that the September 28th post said it is a perfect copy of my creation. They should be ashamed of taking advantage of another person's work. That's what I call a lack of creativity. I read that as certainly alleging some sort of infringement, but I didn't see that as an acknowledgement on the part of Ms. Ferrini that there was a rival claim to have been the creator.
And I would submit, Your Honor, that's a fair characterization. And that's why I started where I started, because certainly by November 8th of 2015, Mrs. Ferrini, in her own words, is acknowledging that she's aware that Ms. Ergit is claiming to be the creator.
And that's where she says, lack of greater respect, now the bikini saying creator of bikinis. And that would be the basis for your assertion that as of the time of the November 8th, 2015 post, Ms. Ferrini was acknowledging that the bikini people, Ms. Ergit, your client, was claiming to be the creator of that item.
Correct, Your Honor. And I was going to go through the other evidence that essentially corroborates the fact that Ms. Farina knew about it, she knew that they were out there, and then it leads up to that 2015 post where she uses...
Well, you knew that Ms. Farina was out there. You didn't sue her, or, of course, you had to pursue her down in Brazil, I guess, but you've known that she's around for a long, long time, and you filed in, what, 2014, I think. So you knew that this bikini was out there, at least in Brazil. Your client did. But you haven't sued her. And what's interesting is that you didn't counterclaim for infringement against her.
So Your Honor,
Because curiously, you might be outside the three-year statute, too.
That's what I was going to say, Your Honor. So it may well be if that was...
So you got this kind of standoff between the two of you, both making claims of ownership. Neither one can sue the other to establish... That seems like an incredibly odd result to me.
It might be. I guess one could characterize it, but it's the result that Congress intended. And it makes sense. In general...
So now let me ask you, there's a third party that creates another similar bikini, starts marketing it, and both of you sue them. Do you end up litigating who actually owns the bikini based upon that infringement? And such that you'd ultimately get a result that would determine as between the two of you?
So I can't say that I thought that far down the road, but there's another factor.
I got to believe your client's going to defend, well, she's assigned it to Keeney, but and Keeney's in this lawsuit. I've got to believe that they're defending it. They've gone head-to-head with Victoria's Secret and others.
So, Your Honor, this is what I'm about to say is not part of the record. There's a fashion industry element here, which is designs are popular and then they fade in popularity.
Oh, so it's no longer hot. Oh.
There's an element there as to whether. So I will submit that it's not part of the record.
I mean, it creates an odd situation. Part of what's going on. I mean, it creates this very odd situation because this is not a substantive determination of her ownership. Or not ownership. There's no substantive determination of who owns this copyright.
Correct, and it might be that we live in a universe. Let me start here. I believe this is part of the record that even before Ms. Farina learned about Mr. Geet, there were other people copying that design. That's what happens in the fashion industry, and so it may well be that we live in a world, and there are copies out there now. So of other companies, including the we've addressed this in our brief. It's part of the record, including the attorney who found Mr. Rutherford to represent Ms. Ferrarini. His wife had been sued by my clients, and that's sort of what gave rise to this. But we may well live in a world where this is just a free-for-all design that anyone can copy. But again, what I would say about that is that's what Congress intended by putting a three-year statute of limitations on ownership claims. There's all the reasons which we put in the brief, quoting the Supreme Court, as to why that statute of limitations exists, statute of limitations in general exist, fairness to defendants. But in this instance with copyrights, there may well have been commercial reasons that Congress imposed that statute of limitations, which is the world of business has to go on.
Is each time that you sell one of your bikinis, one of your clients' bikinis, it's a potentially new infringement with regard to her claims of ownership?
No, it's not.
Why not?
Because the statute of limitations, in order to prove infringement, the first element is ownership. Prove ownership, you have to bring that ownership claim within 3 years.
Well, let me go back to a question I asked you just before this. Okay. I asked you if this was a substantive determination of your respective ownership rights in the copyright, and you said no.
Is this case, you asked me if this case was,
this case,
and the answer is no.
It's dismissed as untimely.
Correct.
So it's not a determination that she doesn't own it. So tomorrow, based upon her sales of a similar bikini, or for bikini's sales similar of this bikini tomorrow, she could sue you again for infringement and say, I own the copyright, this is an infringement, and I'm bringing it within 3 years of knowing it. Or she are forever banned because she knew a long time ago.
I don't believe she could because it would be res judicata. The question
so
of,
she's banned yeah. because of the fact that she's known it since 2015.
Correct.
All right.
And if Your Honors have no further questions, I will
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't we hear from your opponent? We have set aside 3 minutes for rebuttal. And I think, yes, the clock is set to 3 minutes. Very good.
If I may, Your Honor, that's precisely the problem. We can sue again for infringement. They're infringing.
Not as to her.
Of him, yes.
Well, because you've been aware of her infringement according to the judge, since 2015.
Yes, but the infringement accrual period accrues anew with each claim of infringement. There must be one act of infringement within the past 3 years of filing suit in order for the...
That's true, but you became aware of your ownership conflict a long time ago.
There is no ownership conflict in this case, Your Honor. We own our copyright, and they own theirs. We sued for infringement, and if they wanted to defend against infringement, they were allowed to assert...
Well, they're definitely about the same thing, because that's why you're suing them.
But in this case, Your Honor, if mere perfect copying can convert the original author's infringement claim into a dispute over ownership in their original work, though the record is devoid of any fact that would show they don't own their 1998 original work, the entire U.S. copyright system gets turned on its head.
Does every infringement signal knowledge of disputed ownership?
No, Your Honor, it does not.
So infringement is not equal to notice of ownership?
Absolutely not, Your Honor.
Okay.
And if there is notice of infringement in this case, there is not notice in this case of an ownership dispute or any repudiation of our ownership rights in our bikini.
But isn't that exactly what the November 8th, 2015 post by your client is an awareness that your opponent, Ms. Irrigan or Keeney, was claiming ownership of the copyright. They were claiming that it was their idea, that they were the creator. And she's saying that's not true. Not that you're
Even if it's true that Ms. Ferrarini was aware that they claimed to have made the identical design.
Well, it didn't say that.
Okay.
They claimed to be the creator. You have to take it.
Creator
what she
of their
said.
Identical design. They have never claimed they designed our swimsuits. They have only claimed they designed their swimsuits. And if knowledge of that, if I may back up, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
I thought she's disputing it, and she's saying, you didn't invent this, I invented
it. She's not, Your Honor. She's saying, we invented ours, and they invented theirs. They
well,
do
not ever.
It doesn't
look like she's claiming, I mean, I don't know how you read it that way.
Because there's not one fact of evidence in the record, and nothing in the record that says we do not own. They only ever talk about their article, Your Honor. So what has happened in this case
well,
is
creator
their...
creator of bikinis. I don't know, it sounds like she's talking about the same thing, and that... she is aware that there is a dispute over who invented the same thing. Not you have something, I have something, they're different, and you're copying mine.
And the accrual test that the district court applied in this case works when that relationship between those people who claim the same thing have a relationship to one another. Every single case that applies...
Okay, that's a different argument now. One is the argument about what your client said, and another one is what you claim the cases lay out as our standard.
If I may, Your Honor, it's an important point because not a single case that applies the accrual test between co-authors and co-owners applies it between strangers.
No, that I understand
okay.
your legal
thank you, Your
argument.
Honor. Yes,
so,
thank you. I appreciate
why
that.
Why don't you just take 15 seconds, wrap up with your final point.
If near perfect copying can convert the original author's infringement claim into a dispute over ownership in their original work, and again, I submit there is no evidence in this record that disputes our ownership in our 1998 work. The entire U.S. system, the U.S. copyright system, gets turned on its head into a first-to-register system that is expressly rejected by the Constitution and the copyright statutes. Defendants did not sue us for infringement because their 2014 registration is invalid. It shows no original authorship, the very first constitutional requirement to ownership of a copyright in this country. What they have done is they have taken that registration, not shown any evidence that we do not own our copyright, and used it to manufacture an ownership dispute that does not exist. The accrual test between co-owners does not apply in this case. If defendants wish to defend themselves against infringement, they're free to allege and prove independent creation, but they cannot rely on the accrual rule for claims between alleged co-authors to shield their infringing acts. As I stand here before you, defendants continue to sell infringing knockoffs, and under the district court's ruling, such willful infringement will be allowed to continue unabated.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate the very helpful arguments
thank
on
you.
Both sides.
Thank you. You came a long way, Mr. Rutherford. Thank you.
We're glad we got
your admission situation straightened out, too.
Yes, we're happy to welcome you to the bar of this court.
Thank you, Your Honors. I appreciate the court's flexibility with that.
We will take the case under advisement.
I approve the applications, Mr.
Much appreciated.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.